Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
If you would like to have one of these Bible studies, the blue Bible study, if you'll raise your hand, somebody will bring you the blue Bible study. And these sweet children are going to head to their class during the message time, and they've got some other things they're going to be involved in. And then I want you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John. Keep your hand up if you need the Bible study. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Tonight I want us to talk about the quality of courage. Now, if you look at all these qualities that we have learned about and we've discussed and we're asking the Lord to help us, you think about alertness, joyfulness, boldness, initiative, responsibility, patience, availability, dependability, clear conscience, determination, and then courage. A great quality is the quality of courage, and it is defined as knowing that God has given me the strength to face any situation. Courage. We need courage. Dr. Adrian Rogers was the pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church for years, and he used to tell a story about a man who bragged. And the man bragged, he said, he had cut off the tail of a man-eating lion with his pocket knife. I've cut off the tail of a man-eating lion with my pocket knife. And somebody asked him, they said, "Why didn't you cut off the lion's head?" He said, "Well, somebody had already done that." Courage. We need courage. Courage, biblically, is knowing that God has given me the strength to face any situation. Now, last Sunday night, we had the Super Bowl on our mind. Now, are y'all like me? Does that seem like about a month ago to you guys? That was last Sunday night. I mean, last Sunday night, I was all wound up about what was going to happen, you know? And then I still can't believe they made that call on that pass play at the end. But anyway, that's another story. You didn't come here to hear about that, did you? But anyway, that was last week. You know, I was thinking about several years ago, Focus on the Family, they created a TV commercial with Tim in it, Tim Tebow. It was a commercial about Pam Tebow and Tim, and it was about fighting for life. And it was really an anti-abortion commercial. And Focus on the Family paid the money to make that video and to put that in there. And boy, they took some heat over that. Y'all remember that? If you remember that, shake your head. You're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, that took some courage. We need people in the world today that will take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and demonstrate courage. You know, I'm praying that God would build courage into me and courage into you as we seek the Lord's will in our life and in the life of our church. So I want you to take your Bibles and open there to 1 Samuel. There's a typo there. Instead of 2 Samuel, I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we see the story of David and Goliath. And we talk about courage, and I want to point out some principles about courage, and hopefully we'll have a little bit better understanding of courage when we leave tonight. And I'm hoping that this will be an encouragement to our children as well. 1 Samuel chapter 33, and I'm going to go, chapter 17, verse 33 through verse 37. It says, "And Saul said to David, 'You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." What did David do? David realized he was about to embark on the biggest battle he'd ever faced. He needed more courage than ever before. But he also realized that God had given him courage in some other situations. So here's the principle. Smaller victories grow courage. You say, "There's no way I could take on that Philistine." Well, you know what? If you had taken on a lion and a bear, you may have the strength and the courage to go after Goliath. So it's the incremental victories that we have that God gives us more courage and stronger courage to take a stand. So you say, "Well, I don't really face anything huge like that." Oh, listen, you do. You face them every day. You face them at work. You face them in your family. Courage to make the right decision in little things, because the smaller victories give great encouragement for larger victories. So smaller victories grow courage, all right? Now, I want you to find the book of Daniel. Jeremiah. Go to the Psalms and the Proverbs, take a hard right and keep going. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And go to Daniel, our verse of scripture here is Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Daniel 3, 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were being demanded that they bow down to the king and worship him, and they refused to do it. They refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, and it was said that if you did not do it, they would be thrown into the fiery furnace, okay? And so look at verse 16. This is Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered after they were told they were going to be thrown in the furnace. And they said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case," in other words, if we're going to be thrown into the fire, "our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." But look at this verse 18. This is pretty powerful right here. You're talking about courage? "But if not..." See, now we're really... Boy, I'm big on having courage when I know God's coming to the rescue. Have you ever just thought about this? The Christian life is not being removed from all problems. The Christian life is having Jesus with you in all the problems. There's a difference. And there's some people out here in the world that are saying that if you really love Jesus, you don't have any problems. Listen, I've been a pastor, you know, 7.5 years. I've been in ministry about 30 years. That's just not the way I'm seeing it lived out. I'm seeing that God gives strength and joy in the midst of the battles, but you're not always removed from difficulty. You find that in your own life and you see it in the lives of others. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is with you all the way. That's the encouraging word, okay? So he says, "But if not," in verse 18, I love this. "Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And you can read the rest of the story. Now, here is what they were saying. We know you're putting the pressure on us, but we want you to know we don't have to have a consultation. Have y'all ever seen this thing, Shark Tank? This thing's like, it's got me. Okay? I mean, I'm like VCR in these things, man. I'm like watching them, you know. But anyway, these guys will make an offer to their business. If you hadn't seen it, just hang with me. It'll make sense in a minute. They pitch their business to these investors, and these investors will say, well, we may do that. And somebody will say, well, I'll give you this offer. And so sometimes they say, can we have a consultation? So they'll go out, and they'll talk about it, and then come back and give their answer. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the most powerful person on the planet, we know you just said if we don't bow down to your image of gold, we're going to go in the fiery furnace, but we don't need to have a consultation. We've already decided we are not going to bow to your image of gold. So here's the principle that I think is important. Deciding a conviction, and that should be in advance. I put the is there just to throw you off. No. Deciding a conviction in advance solidifies courage. Hey, listen, they had already decided. It does not matter what he says to us. We are not going to bend. We're going to do what we know God wants us to do. And I have seen that in life after life of those particularly young people who say, I'm not going to do this. I am going to follow Jesus in this matter in my life. Whatever it may be, keeping my eyes pure in places I should go, relationships with others, whatever the case may be, they've decided in advance, I'm going to live this way, and it has been great protection. And it solidifies courage because you've already made the decision. By the way, I never knew this, but you know, I learned that, have you ever seen a lion tamer? Have you ever wondered why at the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey circus, you can't really do it with this. Let's see here. We'll do it with this. Have you ever noticed how they get a stool? You ever notice that? How many of you said, what are you talking about? Have you noticed that? They have a stool. Shake your head. Okay. And they get a whip, and they take that stool, and they put it up towards that tiger. I learned the reason they did that is because the tiger sees four things coming at him at one time, and it paralyzes him. If it was just one, he'd say, that's one, that's my enemy. He can get him. Don't want me to do that again? Anyway, whatever. All right. There's four of them, though. And I tell you what, if you make up your mind in advance, whatever Satan throws your way, however many stools he lifts up in your way, you'll know you have already in advance made the right choice. So deciding a conviction in advance solidifies courage. Now, look at the book of Acts. These are examples in Scripture of courage or the lack of courage. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 through 21. Acts chapter 4, 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had just healed someone, and the religious leaders were furious. But they saw this man standing with them, they could say nothing against it because he was healed. Verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. See what they're saying? Let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in his name. So they called them and they commanded them to speak, not to speak, excuse me, commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what they had done. So here's the principle that you need to realize. These were unbelievers here. Courage can face pressure from unbelievers. These unbelievers were not happy that they were preaching Jesus, and so they wanted to put pressure on them. Now I want you to go to the book of Numbers, all the way in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Go to the book of Numbers in chapter 13. And the principle is this. The majority doesn't always show courage. Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 33. Numbers 13, 27. Then they told him and they said, now these spies went into the land of the enemy to decide whether they should go in and take the land for God. God's people went in to enemy country to scout it out. And they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Their cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. These were God's people together that went in to spy out the land. And Caleb and Joshua said, let's go take it. We can do that. I want that mountain, Joshua said. And Caleb said, and yet the other ones gave a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Notice he didn't say we were like grasshoppers in their sight. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So they had no desire to go in and take the land. So the principle is this. The majority doesn't always show courage. When you decide to have courage for Jesus Christ, you may face opposition even from your own friends. And many, many times it was the master's minority. It was the minority group that was following the Lord. And in this case, it was. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy, which is the next book over to the right, and go to the 31st chapter, you find the answer to give you courage. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 and 7. Be strong and of good courage, the scripture says. Do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it." What is it that is going to help us in the midst of difficulty to have the courage to do right? It's the presence of God. It's knowing that God is with us. How is it that a young person with pressure on them to be involved in things they don't need to be involved in, when they're at some party and somebody's bringing up liquor to them, something that will ruin their life, how are they able to say no? They're able to say no because they know this: the God of this universe, who they have given their life to, is with them in the midst of that. How is it that a businessman, when everyone else is compromising the deals and they want to stand on integrity, how are they able to do that? Because they know that God is with them. They ultimately are going to answer to God. They know that God is the one. You know, history is his story. Y'all have read the end of the book, don't you? Haven't you? We win. Jesus wins, and I better qualify that. We win if we're with Jesus. And so it's the presence of God that gives us the fuel for courage. That's the blank. God's presence in our life is the fuel for courage. And then the last principle here is a statement that I learned as a teenage boy that I want everyone in here to learn, and particularly these children and young people. Go to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, 4. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Philippians 4, 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians 4, 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." When I was a teenager and I got saved, someone taught me this little phrase: you and Jesus are always a majority in every situation. I heard the story of a college student that was pledging in some club on the university campus, and they were having initiations, and they got out beer, and they said, "Okay, if you want to be in our club, you know, we're going to start right here." And they had, you know, 15, 20 guys right here, and they said, "You chug this as fast as you can." Well, this young man had made a commitment; he was not going to drink alcohol, and yet he was honored to be considered to be a part of this club, and so anyway, it got to him, and he stopped. This guy drank it, this guy drank it, this guy drank it, this guy drank it, and it got to him. The world is waiting for someone to have courage. And there are those who want to have the conviction that God has led them to have, but they need someone to be an example and lead out. And this fellow said, "You know, I've given my life to Jesus. I'm not able to do that." The next guy said, "You know, I'm not able to do that either." The next guy said, "I'm not." And these guys all did it, but there was one guy who had the courage to say no, and the rest of the crowd said, "You know what? That's not for me either." You and Jesus Christ are a majority in every situation that you face. In 1517... one of my favorite stories is a story that Martin Luther wrote the 95 Theses on the door of the church at Wittenberg in Germany. And by the way, I have this up on my, I'm going high tech on you, okay? I got this on my smartphone right here. I'm going to read it off of here. Y'all okay tonight? Y'all just looking at me funny, okay. All right. I remember studying the life of Martin Luther, And when Luther was writing against the indulgences and everything that was happening in the church at the time, he had to demonstrate amazing courage. There were not many when he began that stood with him, and yet he felt compelled that God was pleased with what he was doing. They brought in a theologian named John Eck. I've never forgotten that name, John Eck. The guy was brilliant. He was a theologian, and he was arguing on behalf of the Pope, and he was against Luther. And so John Eck, at what was known as the Diet of Worms in Germany, they gathered all his pamphlets on a table and they asked him, they said, "Are these your writings?" Johann Eck, speaking on behalf of the empire, presented Luther with copies of his writings and laid it out on a table, and he asked him if the books were his and whether he stood by their contents. Luther confirmed that he was their author, but he requested time to think about the answer to the second question. He prayed, he consulted friends, and this is the response he gave. He said, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in his councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the Scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience." And then some accounts have it that he said at this point, "Here I stand, I can do no other." There are some accounts that don't have that in there. Then he says, "May God help me, amen." He knew he was basically signing his death warrant when he made that statement. At the end of this speech, Luther raised his arm in the traditional salute of a knight winning a bout. And then they had a response back from Eck. They turned him loose, and 2 days later, they pronounced him a heretic, and then they made an announcement that anyone could take his life with no consequences. In other words, and they made it a crime to give him food or shelter. One of the members of royalty had him captured at night, and they took him to a place where he was holed up and held up, and he ended up not being captured at that moment. Courage to take a stand for the Lord.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.